boot finds me. Oh, the noise of this has made me lose my belief. I'm going back to my roots. Another day, another door, another high, another low.
Week 10 is here. We are covering the spread, so we're back again. I'm Brendan here in Richmond, and we have our boy Chuck. Where you at, Chuck?
I'm reporting live from the O.
Chuck's got some Gatorade ready. He's already mowed through some popcorn, so we're about to ready to run through some games. It's a pretty weak slate of games this week. Our Baylor Bears have a bye, so we gave all the guests a bye week so they could rest up for the stretch run. So they're getting ready for, you know, next week when Baylor's going to Kansas State. They're getting ready for some Clemson, Florida State. LSU, Alabama's next week, so they're all starting to watch some video and getting ready. Chuck, what are you doing to get ready for the big week next week?
Dude, I don't look at games till they come around. Take it one week at a time.
See, I'm a big look ahead guy. I'm always looking down the road.
It explains why you lose a lot, dude.
That might be. My picks ratio wise are pretty good, but I'm just putting money on the wrong game. I'm looking at you, Texas A&M. So last week we had number 20 Cal went to UCLA. Chuck, did you watch the game Thursday night?
Oh yeah. Is there any question that I was not watching a UCLA game?
There are some questions abound. Yes.
UCLA destroyed Cal. Like I said last week, home underdogs, unranked or home favorites that are unranked against a ranked team cover 67% of the time. And what do you know that happened? They covered 2 out of 3 times this week. UCLA won, I think it was like 40-24 or something like that.
Yeah, it wasn't as close.
And it wasn't even that close.
Yeah. Speaking of wasn't that close, Clemson went to Miami, handed Miami their worst loss ever. I want to say it's like 59-0, 58-0, something like that.
It was bad.
Yeah, Al Golden lost so badly he lost his job the next day. Not that that was all that surprising, but yeah, it's the worst loss in the U's history, so that's impressive. So, speaking of going on the road and playing well, how did K-State do versus Texas, Chuck?
Let's ask the White Lion. So, K-State, their offense just pitiful. There was a lot of rain, so it was just both teams just running the ball nonstop. Texas dominated by jumping out to an early lead, just kind of never looked back. I think they won something like 23-7 or 23-10, something like that.
Yeah, they won pretty handily. Whitney did put all $1,000 last week on K-State, did not cover for her. Auburn played Arkansas. Arkansas is a 5.5-point favorite, and they took care of Auburn pretty easily. I didn't watch any of this.
So they did not take care of them easily. Arkansas and Auburn went into 4 overtimes.
Oh, I forgot that aspect.
So Arkansas was actually
points, so I was like, eh.
Arkansas was actually one of the lucky covers of the day. So they went to they had the lead, let Auburn come back, went to overtime, and then where they started to have to go for 2, they went back and forth. Arkansas scored and got their 2-point conversion. And then they stopped Auburn. So in real life, I had Arkansas -7. And so I got real lucky that the game went – they got the 2-point conversions to cover for me.
I was pretty distracted on Saturday for the game that we have at the bottom of our sheet. Iowa State came to Waco. Baylor was a 37-point favorite on our sheet. I think it moved up to 38 around kickoff. It was like a tropical storm. I think Waco got like 6 inches of rain that day. Baylor was up 35-0 at halftime, and we're outscored in the second half by Iowa State. Baylor ended up winning by, I want to say 21-24, something like that. They did not cover the spread. Iowa State looked good the second half when they made the switch to quarterback. But Baylor lost their quarterback for the year because he fractured a bone in his neck. So that was rough.
Yeah, Iowa State had 7 points at halftime.
Oh, that's right. They got a garbage touchdown with like a minute left in the half.
Garbage touchdown in the second quarter.
They were down 35-0 at that point. They were just getting thrown all over. We switched bars, so like we didn't drive up for this game just because of the whole rain thing. So we switched bars. It was 35-0. We're driving to a different one, so I forgot they scored. Got to rep my guys at the growler spot, giving me all sorts of good beer that Saturday and keeping me and Whitney and Caitlin and Austin well hydrated throughout the day.
That's what happens when you're not a true fan and don't go to the game.
It's the first game I've missed in 4 seasons, so that works. If it was like a good game, like an Oklahoma coming up or like a Texas or something like that, we would have gone. But Iowa State, 38-point spread, I'm good.
That's probably why Seth Russell got hurt, is because he was like, man, Dia didn't even show up for this game. Why don't, even try?
Don't put that on me, Chuck. Don't put that on my conscience.
You're the reason Baylor football is in the situation they're in.
I was pretty distraught that afternoon. Actually, the whole weekend.
I was kind of excited Stidham would get to play.
Yeah, but you and Sally were. See, it was Sally's birthday on Sunday, so I think Sally thought that was like a birthday gift for him. Fractured neck.
If only Jay Lee could go down next.
Lynx Hoffman might be sneaking up on the Sally hate list. But rightfully so. Lynx Hoffman's a pretty terrible punt returner and doesn't do anything.
Averages like 1 yard a return.
No, seriously, he only averages like 5 yards a return. It's pretty bad. He's only returned 8 punts this year because he fair catches everything. Anyway, going back to the rest of our list. Texas Tech went to Oklahoma. Oklahoma was a 14.5-point favorite. You got anything on that one, Chuck?
I didn't watch that game. I remember kind of following Stat Tracker or Game Tracker. I know OU was leading pretty handily most of the game. I think OU covered, didn't they?
Yep.
Yeah, so I mean they covered the 14.5, but they were in complete control of that game from the start.
Speaking of complete control, let's see if you'll call me on this one. Going against your ranked team that's a dog on the road, always loses mostly. Duke went on the road to Va Tech. They handled the Hokies fairly easy in the fourth overtime.
You mean they didn't convert the 2-point conversion?
Did not happen. They handled that play pretty easily. Duke covered they were 2.5-point dogs. They won by 2. So swung that thing by 4.5 points. Duke covers and wins the game.
Yep. So I said the 2/3 of the time that I'll win. And this is the one that I didn't win.
Yep. Tennessee went to number 8, Alabama. Bama's a 16-point favorite.
Excuse me.
We'll forgive you for that one. Bama's a 16-point favorite. They end up winning by 5 in Tuscaloosa. Tennessee hung around a lot. Alabama struggled to put them away. Tennessee's no Texas A&M. You can't just put them away easy, so. Alabama scores 9 in the fourth quarter to pull it out, but they don't cover, so.
They scored a touchdown with like 2 minutes left to take the lead.
Yep. Didn't cover the 16. Now, a team that did cover pretty easily, Ole Miss hosted Texas A&M. A&M was number 15 in the country going in, but they were also 6-point dogs. Did you watch anything on this one?
I did not. I was going to say you could watch this one, talk about this one.
Yeah, so Texas A&M's offense looks inept for the second week in a row. Kyle Allen, like lots of A&M fans will tell you, he's hurt. It's either he's hurt or still rattled by the Alabama game. He at one point had 13 consecutive incomplete passes, and 19 of his passes between the second and third quarter combined for a -1 yard. So the Aggies have struggled on offense. They can't run the ball currently. They haven't been able to run the ball in like the last 2-3 years, really. Ole Miss looked good, covered it easily. Like, that game was not close at all in the second half. Just Texas A&M couldn't get going. Pulled their quarterback, put their – what they would call their backup, but what everybody else thinks of as their third string in, still couldn't score. So it'll be interesting to see what they do this week against South Carolina. They've made these helmets to glow in the dark for Halloween. And then the SEC and ESPN.
Is that really a true story?
Yes, it really is. They're supposed to flash like whenever the light hits them or something like that, basically, with the paint. And now they're playing at 11 a.m. The brunch game of the week.
That we will not talk about.
Nope. Number three, Utah went to USC. USC was a 3.5-point favorite. This did work towards your 66% of the time.
Oh, yeah. USC just throttled Utah. They won, I think it was by 20 points. I think it was 42-24. Mm-hmm. And Utah got, like, some garbage touchdown to even make it that close. And this is one of those where the real line actually was a touchdown favorite by the time the game rolled around.
Yeah, the line, like, moved 3 points that morning or something.
Yeah. It's because USC was going to destroy them. And so that was my big bet of the week right there. And then the other bet of the week, so this was my off-the-board bet, was Georgia Tech to cover 6.5 against Florida State. And not only did they cover, they won the game outright with, well, I guess USC was the, is USC really considered an upset since they were almost a touchdown favorite? I guess the number three team in the country.
I mean, yeah, there's a number three team in the country. So if they're like number 20 or something, but like Utah was like undefeated and like, controlled their destiny to win the Pac-12. So
did Florida State. Georgia Tech knocked them off.
That was a fun inning. I was watching the end of that one. All right, moving on. So that's all the games for this past week.
One thing I would like to point out, that our SEC correspondent, John Griffin, did only go 1-2 in SEC games this week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just wanted to make a point of that. Where I didn't do much better. I went 2-1.
Our Clemson, South Carolina correspondent missed the Clemson game, so there's that for him.
Our correspondents suck.
Yeah. So speaking of people on our podcast who do not suck, Sarah again won for the second week in a row. Out of 10 games, Sarah got 9 right this week. Last week we had 14 games, Sarah got 11 right. So in the last 2 weeks, out of 24 games, Sarah's only missed 4. So Sarah's doing very, very well at this. Second last week, me and Chuck tied with 7 apiece. Our boy Dub came in 4th with 6. We had 4 people tied at 5th with Sally, Witt, Uncle Brett, and Rachel. All had 5 games right. My sister Caitlin came in 9th with 3 games right, and our SEC correspondent Griff had 2 correct. So, I also like to point out Kirch, who likes to talk about percentages of games hit, did not submit picks last week, so he hit 0% of his picks. Or 100 if he's going with the undefeated if you don't play.
You can't win if you don't play.
It's very true. It's what he's going to probably do. So, overall, Chuck has 58 points on the year. Witt has 52. I have 51. Sally has 46. Our boy Dove has 43. Uncle Brett with 36. Griff with 35. And Sarah's going to run everybody down. She already has 33 points. So it's pretty impressive because Sarah's only played like 4 weeks. And so she's going to run everybody down. Money-wise, last week I thought I was going to do pretty well. I hit my $500 bet on Iowa State. I missed my $500 bet on the Aggies of Texas A&M. I'm done with the Aggies for the year. Chuck went with his mutual fund effect. He had $500 on USC. Then he split the remaining $500 over UCLA, Virginia Tech, Miami. So he hit his big bet with USC, hit on UCLA, lost in Va Tech and Miami. So Chuck ends up adding $272 to his previous balance of $1,256. So Chuck now has $1,528 on the year made. I lost another $46, so I'm doing fantastic with losing $1,082.
Impressive.
It is. Every week I'm like, I'm going to make up ground, and then I don't, because I keep losing like $45 a week now because I split.
That's a good week for you.
It's not a terrible week. It's not a good week, though. Witt put $1,000 in K-State like we talked about. That did not work out so well. Rachel put $1,000 on Texas A&M to win. That also did not go well. So as far as our guests so far, Sally on his week on the podcast has $931. Dub is in second at $909. And then the rest of the clowns. Kirch at negative 46. Murph at negative 46. Griff at negative 236. Sally's first week on the podcast of negative 418, and then Garza, Witt, and Rachel all at negative 1,000. So
A lot of losers in there.
A lot of losers. Of course, my number would be like the lowest of anybody, so
yeah. You're the head of the losers.
I'm the head of losers. I play. I'm like the guy who just can't stop gambling. Like, I keep playing and playing. It's just not going so well. One day, maybe. Yeah, so it sounded a lot like RJ. I just keep playing. I don't know what's going to happen. So that's how everything has fared last week, and we're heading into this week. So the College Football Playoff Committee releases their initial playoff rankings on Tuesday. We're not going to do another podcast until next Wednesday, coming out to you guys on Thursday morning. So we figured we'd go ahead and assume that the top teams don't lose, and they look like they have the last couple weeks, so far the whole season. So, Chuck, as of this moment in time, knowing what they've done the first 8 weeks of the season, let's go over our top four and who we have in the playoff right now. And then we've also created our own playoff system for our podcast, which is completely separate from the playoff, and we'll explain that in a second. So, Chuck, let's start at the bottom. Who's your number four playoff team?
So my number four team right now, and I do not think they end up making the playoffs, is the LSU Tigers. And it's mostly lack of other options because I think there are one-loss teams that are better that will end up in the college football playoff. But if I had to do it by this moment, I can't pick a one-loss team over an undefeated team. So I'll take LSU at number four.
I have Iowa State. So not Iowa State. I keep trying to drop them in everything. I have Ohio State at number four. They're undefeated. They're the defending national champions, which is kind of like what we were saying about FSU the entire year last year. The first 5 or 6 weeks of the season, they didn't really look like they did last year. The last two, they've started to kind of show what they're capable of. I think the move back to JT Barrett right now makes them look like a playoff team. So I have them at my four spot. My number three spot, I echo a lot of what you said. I have LSU. Brandon Harris has gotten better the last couple weeks. He hasn't turned the ball over, which is impressive for LSU, and that's kind of what they need at quarterback, it looks like. Leonard Fournette is just running away with the Heisman. He's the best player right now in the country. Their defense is still good. I'm with you. I think they might drop a game. I think that actually might come next week versus Alabama in Tuscaloosa. But right now I'm rolling with the LSU Tigers at number three. Who's your three spot?
So my number three right now, if I had to pick based on what they've done, is Ohio State. I actually would, at the end of the season, I think they'll be undefeated, and I would put them at number one because I think the defending champions are the champions until they get beat, just the way I feel. But based on their body of work, I'd say they're number three right now.
Where are you at for number two?
For number two, I have the Baylor Bears. They've been very impressive, dominating, blowing everybody out. The big thing is they haven't beaten anybody yet this year, and that's just a product of their schedule. And so that's why I have them at number two, even though they win by 30 points a game.
I also have Baylor number two. I think that Baylor, like you said, they're just blowing everybody out. The Big 12 backloads their schedule, which is probably good for TV viewership numbers. It may not be all that well for getting a team in the playoff because you have Baylor, Texas, Oklahoma State all with no losses and Oklahoma with one. But all four of those teams are going to play each other in the next 3 to 4 weeks. So we're going to see where everybody stands at the end of this. And I think Baylor, if you would have asked me after Saturday's game, before the news of Seth Russell broke, I thought they were going to be in the playoffs. Now I don't see how they get through all that with Jared Stidham at quarterback as a freshman. So we'll have to see. My number one team right now is Clemson. I know I've been saying their offense just doesn't seem to impress me every week, but it's hard to keep ignoring what they've been doing. Granted, Miami's not all that good, but they're still an average team in the sense they're going to get 5 to 6 wins probably. Talent-wise, defensively, Clemson's a lot further along than what I thought they were going to be. They still don't allow points. Their defensive fronts come together after losing a lot of people. So Clemson, to me right now, looks like the best team in the country through 8 weeks. Who do you have at one?
I have the Iowa Hawkeyes. Nah, just kidding. I have Clemson for all the same reasons that you've said. I mean, that's why I have them number one. They beat Notre Dame. They have the most impressive win out of the top teams. I mean, everything. I just echo everything you say. That's why I have them number one. If you had to, what do you think the top four will be at the end of the season?
I don't think Clemson loses, so I still think they're going to be in the top four. My guess is they may fall to number two because I think Ohio State's going to win out, and wins over Michigan State and Michigan are probably going to look pretty good. So I'm with you. I think Ohio State will be one. I'll take Clemson two. I think TCU will be three. And then if – I don't know. Then I can't figure out which SEC team will be four. It's either going to be LSU or Alabama. I'm not entirely sure which one. I think the Pac-12 is going to miss out entirely.
See, so I don't know about the orders, but so I've got Ohio State, Baylor, Clemson, and Stanford as my four.
So you still think Baylor goes undefeated?
I do.
I hope so.
I'm a lot higher on Stidham than you are, so.
No, I mean, I like him. It's just a freshman quarterback hasn't won a national championship in 30 years. Whenever, I forget what the guy's name was, did it at Oklahoma whenever Troy Aikman went down, so. All right, so for our podcast, we've decided, because everybody can give you a top four and kind of spit that out. You can find that on ESPN, but we're not the worldwide leaders. We barely get 50 downloads a week, so we're changing things up for us. We talk a lot about brunch
number games. Number 26 podcast on Podomatics.
We were the number 26 college and high school sports podcast on Podomatic last week. So we didn't crack the top 200 for iTunes, but you guys just got to recommend us to more people. So anyway, on our podcast, we always talk about Saturday morning games at 11 Central Time is the Brunch Bowl. So you're not really ready for football, but you can put up with it. But you really, it makes it a lot better if you got some mimosas, some breakfast tacos, whatever. So we're going to name our top four Brunch Bowl teams. So this is basically a 14 playoff that would happen at 11 o'clock a.m. around the same time that the actual playoff happens. And these teams are teams that normally wouldn't go to bowl games. So my number one Brunch Bowl team, because they're entertaining as hell to watch, is Tulsa. Tulsa will score a lot. They're going to also let you score a lot. You're going to score about 90 points in any Tulsa game combined. So Tulsa is my number one Brunch Bowl team. They're not going to make a bowl game because their defense is horrible, but they're really fun to watch if you like watching lots of points scored.
Dude, you did a lot of research for this.
I didn't. I just like Tulsa. Do you have a number one for your Brunch Bowl?
Oh, well, shoot. I didn't know I had to put them in order.
You don't have to put them in order. Just name a team in your Brunch Bowl.
Western Michigan.
Okay, and who do you have Western Michigan playing?
Eastern Michigan.
Okay, a little cross-state rivalry. See that? Who's your other team you have in the Brunch Bowl?
Central Michigan.
I like where you're going. Is there a Northern Michigan? Who they play?
Unfortunately, they do not have a D1 football team, so I decided to go with Hawaii.
Nice. And where's that game going to be at?
Central Mich. Detroit.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to give like a third party site, like maybe Mexico City or something.
Ford Field.
Ford Field. Can Jim Caldwell be the ref?
Oh man, that guy sucks.
So my team playing Tulsa in the Brunch Bowl is Boston College.
Maybe they can have the games all played in Australia.
They might. Baylor tried to get the game there and just couldn't seem to work it out, apparently. I don't really ever know if that was a thing or Baylor just said it was. Anyway, I have Tulsa playing Boston College. Boston College also won't make a bowl, and they have a really good defense. So can Tulsa's like mid-major football team score against a Power 5 defense? I think they can, but that'd be fun to watch. These other two we differentiate on if you think they will or won't go to a bowl game. I don't think Nebraska makes the bowl because I don't have them upsetting either Sparty or Iowa. So I have Nebraska playing Arkansas in my Brunch Bowl, the doubleheader Brunch Bowl. So
riveting stuff, dear.
I'm enjoying it.
And in case anybody actually wanted to watch one of these Brunch Bowl matchups, mm-hmm. Western and Eastern Mich do play this Saturday on the CBS Sports Network. However, instead of being at brunch time, they are playing at 6:30 p.m.
It's not going to be the same quality game. It's too late.
Exactly. So I just wanted to throw that out there if anybody really wanted to see a Brunch Bowl matchup.
They've had brunch. They've probably had a snack. Can't do it. But also, one of your original Brunch Bowl suggestions was Tulsa versus SMU, and then I burst that bubble saying they also play on Saturday. So Saturday's a pretty good day to watch a bunch of crappy teams play each other.
Yeah, I mean, they all suck. The highlight game of the week is Notre Dame Temple.
Which in most weeks would be a brunch game, but this week it's the primetime game of the week.
Dude, we have up here in Chicago, we've had Ohio State on the ABC primetime game for the last 3 weeks in a row. It shows you how shitty the game is.
Should be great. Speaking of crappy games, we're going to get into this week's slate of games. Now,
I will say this. I think it may be crappy as far as in terms of games to watch on TV. Mm-hmm. I do think this is actually a very good sports betting week.
Okay. Well, that's good because we are a sports betting podcast, so that should help. But this is a week that if you have a lot of Halloween festivities to do, don't even worry about watching football. Just go do your Halloween stuff. So this is a week like you have – like if you really like college football, you get something out of this week. But really you're just trying to get to the main course, which is next week's football games, which is the whole point of this week. So our first game is kind of like whenever you go to a Mexican restaurant, you didn't go there for the chips and salsa, but you get the chips and salsa before your meal. That to me is like what UNC at Pitt is on Thursday night.
Oh, whoa. I just realized that Western-Eastern Mish game. Mm-hmm. That ain't Saturday. That's tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Must-see TV.
Okay. You can go ahead and watch that tomorrow night. Let us know how that goes next week.
I'll pass.
Anyway, back to the chips and salsa. UNC is a 3-point favorite going to number 23 Pitt. As a solid verbal calls them, secretly decent Pitt. Chuck, do you have a lean in this game?
Oh, I got more than a lean.
You going to rock with it?
Yeah, I'm going to go with UNC to cover the 3 points. UNC has one of the better offenses in the country. They get no attention nationally because we all saw them the first game of the season against South Carolina where they looked pitiful and lost that game. But UNC is a pretty legit team. I just don't think Pitt has enough offense to keep up with UNC. UNC's defense isn't good, but UNC should be able to score almost every time. So I got UNC winning by 10 points.
I hear you. Yeah,
take that back. Thursday night games are always intriguing. Give me a UNC by 4.
So covering by 1. You're right that UNC's been overlooked because they lost the first week, and they kind of look – their offense just did not look good the very first week versus South Carolina, but they haven't lost since then. So they're now – they're top 16 in both scoring offense and scoring defense, so their defense can keep points off the board, just like Pitt's can. But Maurice Williams has looked pretty good. He had 2 picks a couple games ago, but other than that, he's one of their best rushers. He's also a consistent passer for him. Elijah Hood at running back, as a sophomore, is going to go over 1,000 yards for him. I like UNC to win. I like them to win by about 6-7. They're going to win by a touchdown to me. So I think they're going to give Pitt their second loss of the year, and then UNC will take control of the ACC Coastal Division. Our next game is West Virginia goes to number 5, TCU. TCU is a 14-point favorite. This game is kind of like toast with the breakfast plate. You didn't really want toast, but you got toast because you got the pancake platter. And like it's just used for soaking up syrup. So that's what this is for a Thursday
Why
night.
Would you have toast and pancakes?
You know, like IHOP like gives you that sort of stuff. You don't want toast.
Who actually eats at IHOP?
I don't know. It's like the breakfast place I can think of nationwide. We could go with like the Egg and I, the Waffle House.
Oh, the Egg and I's, but all the Waffle House, that's legit.
Cracker Barrel.
Legit.
See, so anyway, but you don't go there, you don't wake up in the morning saying, let's go get toast at Cracker Barrel. You don't do it, which is what you're not doing for West Virginia TCU tomorrow. You're not waking up ready for that game.
See, I'm not going to lie, I'm actually pretty excited for this game.
Of the Thursday night games, I'll be watching this one, but that's just because I love the Big 12. Skyler Airball Howard is going to be up there throwing up balls for TCU to go get, which I think is going to be a weakness for West Virginia. The guy can throw far, but he can't put it on a line. They're just lobbed up there, which is funny because that's exactly what I think about Trevon Boykin, so it kind of works. Wendell Smallwood is going to run all over TCU's defense. They haven't shown the capability to tackle, so he's going to have himself a day. Sheldon Gibson is another wideout people need to start watching. He's averaging about 24 yards a carry as a sophomore. Jerron Boykins in the Heisman race. It's tough to beat him at home, especially. They're a 14-point favorite. I don't like them to cover it. Give me West Virginia.
Dude, you just threw out a bunch of stats. Yeah, I didn't do any research on that. I used my eyeball test. My eyeball test, I've said this all year, that TCU, and I said this before the season started, TCU would lose at least two games this year. I don't know if this is one of them, but I think West Virginia gives them a scare. They almost beat them last year. TCU is not anywhere near as good a team as they were last year. West Virginia, I think, is a better team than they were last year. Like you said, TCU can't stop anybody. I think West Virginia has a legit shot for the outright win, but I think they cover the 14 pretty easily.
TCU is 65th in points given up, so you're right, they can't stop anybody.
See, yeah, I didn't need no stats, just the eyeball test.
Speaking of what we didn't need, you don't go to the sandwich shop for a pickle, but they give it to you like at Jason's Deli. I don't know why. Does anybody eat the pickle?
I do.
Do you? Okay, so you're definitely going to watch this next game. Oregon goes to Arizona State. Arizona State's a 2.5-point favorite. Chuck, tell me about the pickle game.
Dude, you're going to be watching this game at 9:30 kickoff?
I'll probably be watching the end of TCU West Va, and then – oh, no, actually I won't be watching either of these games. I got the going away Murph dinner.
Ah.
Yeah.
So I will definitely be watching this game, as I always like to watch my After Dark Pac-12 games. Oregon, I think they rebound from the struggles they've had earlier in the season. Vernon Adams back. They looked good against Washington. So Arizona State is coming off of a bye where they looked good against Utah and then fell apart late. It kind of epitomizes Arizona State's season. You don't really know what you're going to get with this team. I could see Arizona State winning this game, but I'm going to take my chances with Oregon. I think they're just a more talented team. So give me Oregon to cover the 3 points.
This is a case where Arizona State just – I don't think they're that good. They're just still rated because people think that they've been good the last couple of years and they're going to be good again. They're just underwhelming. They're not elite in scoring or on defense. Mike Bercovici's down at 59% completion percentage. Their running back, Demario Richard, is only at 5.2, which is fine. But they don't have a game breaker at wideout, so they're not able to stretch the field. They're checking down a lot, and it takes them a lot to move the chains. Conversely, Royce Freeman is a beast. Like, he's the entire Oregon offense because they're not stretching the field also. Vernon Adams isn't a runner.
Royce Freeman is a Rolls Royce of a running back.
I like that. So anyway, I think Oregon is probably going to win this game outright, so I'm definitely going to take the 2.5 points. So give me the Ducks.
Quack, quack, motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm. What Chuck said. Game number 4 of the week. It's like when you go through a drive-thru and you order french fries and a burger, they give you ketchup, but you didn't want ketchup. They just throw it all in your bag. And it's all warm and... To me, that's,
but I do like the fancy ketchup from Whataburger.
You got to try spicy ketchup. Much better.
I like my fancy one.
Okay, well, you keep it fancy, Chuck. So anyway, so the ketchup game of the week is Ole Miss is a 7.5-point favorite at Auburn. Sean White in his last 4 games since he's become the starter, surprisingly hasn't had a passing touchdown. He's over 250 the last 2 weeks.
Come again, D? He hasn't thrown a touchdown yet?
No.
What about a touchdown to the other team?
He has 1 pick, maybe. So, could be. I don't know. I didn't look up pick 6 stats.
But you have stats for everything. I thought you would have that.
Well, yeah, it's not exactly. I've got all sorts of printed off notes. So, anyway, I think Auburn's going to kill their running back, Peyton Barber. In the last 4 weeks, here is carry numbers. 27, 28, 26, and last week in the 4 overtime game, 37. So I think it's going to take its toll. The last 2 weeks, he's been sub 3.5 yards a carry. Chad Kelly for Ole Miss and Laquan Treadwell, they're going to have fun this week. They're just going to go up and down the field, I think, again. They're going to move the ball and go over the top. I think Ole Miss is going to cover the 7.5. I think that Auburn is still suffering and just not all that good offensively. Defensively, they've gotten better. I just think Ole Miss is going to win by 8 to 10. So give me the Rebels.
Do you know you have on our spreadsheet Auburn, right?
I know. I typed in the wrong deal.
Oh. So for this game, I don't really have a strong opinion either way. Auburn is not a very good team this year. Ole Miss, though, I think is going to be coming off of a high from last week beating Texas A&M and looking very, very impressive. Auburn is in an emotional letdown spot this week, so, I mean, it's a tough play. I'm the 7.5. I'm going to take the hook here for Auburn to cover, maybe a backdoor cover. I don't think Auburn wins the game, but I think they can cover the 7.5. No, I'm not real confident in this one, though.
Okay. Also, that game is a brunch game. That game and our next game, the blackout and whiteout game, we have Illinois at Penn State. Chuck, talk about your home state.
Texas?
Your newest home state? I don't even know what we call your state now. Is it like your latest residency?
We're fibs. Fucking Illinois bastards.
Never heard that one. We'll let you take that. Go for it.
So I'm going to take Illinois to cover this. Wes Lunt is special. Mm-hmm. That's actually just something I heard on the radio. I don't actually believe that. But I do think that their offense is good enough to score points. Penn State is a very lackluster team. They beat teams they're supposed to, can't beat anybody that would be a marquee win. I could see Illinois winning this game if Juice Williams is back. Still sticking with Illinois. Not a game I would bet in real life.
Chuck, do you like to go to Hibachi Grills?
I enjoy them every once in a while.
What do you think about the soup and salad you get when you get there?
Yeah, I ain't ever turning that down.
You're not turning it down? I like the soup, but sometimes it just feels like hot dishwater. Like, sometimes there's not even anything in it.
Yeah, I ain't ever met anything that I don't want to eat.
You don't like Bush's chicken?
I actually do enjoy Bush's chicken, but it doesn't agree with my body very much.
Okay. So this next game is like the soup and salad at a Hibachi Grill. Like, you're just there, you get it, and you're like, oh, I'm not going to turn it down. I'll watch it. That's this next game to me. That's this Penn State Illinois game to me. Like, I'm not going to watch this game because I'd find both teams pretty boring. Christian Sackenberg, he just gets
I don't know why anybody would watch this game. You don't have to make an analogy here.
Christian Sackenberg is either broken or just wasn't all that good out of high school. He's on pace to get sacked another 44 times again this year. If he gets 45, it'll top his career high. So he's getting better. He's down to a 52 completion percentage. So there's that going for him. Saquon Barkley is the entire offense at 7.5 yards per carry. When Sackenberg can throw the ball, Chris Goodwin is legit. He's averaging 19 yards a catch. Wes Lunch is a special, special dude, but still just a dude. Their offense isn't really that good. I don't know how they're going to move the ball on Penn State, but I also don't really trust Penn State at all. So I'm going to take Illinois for the 5.5 points that I'm being given right there. I think Illinois has a chance to win, but I see a chance they could lose pretty badly. I don't see it. I'm like you. I'm not confident. I wouldn't bet this game, but I think Illinois is going to cover the 5.5.
Agreed.
All right. Chuck, have you started eating oysters?
I like oysters.
You do like oysters? I thought you didn't like seafood.
Dio, what are you talking about?
That's right. We ate seafood last time we were together. Chuck, remember those crackers we got? Do you like crackers and oysters?
Dia, what did I just tell you before? I eat everything except for vegetables.
Not everything. Okay. A cracker isn't a vegetable. Our next game is like crackers and oysters. By the way, my whole intention is to beat this joke into the ground. I think it's working pretty well.
I know. That's why I'm playing along with it.
I know. So it's the world's largest cocktail party. So you have cocktails when you're eating oysters and crackers and all that sort of thing. So Georgia doesn't go to Florida. They meet in Jacksonville, Florida. They face the Gators. Gators are 3-point favorite. Since getting the job, Treyon Harris has looked good. He doesn't have a turnover yet. Their offensive line still doesn't open up holes for Kelvin Taylor at all. He also was really bad in the LSU game. Without Nick Chubb, Georgia's offense is non-existent. 2 weeks ago, they only scored 9 points to beat Missouri, so that's not going to get it done versus Florida. Grayson Lambert can't afford to check down all the time versus Florida's corners because their secondary is amazing. I have Florida to cover this because I don't know how Georgia's going to be able to move the ball. They can't throw the ball that well when he's under pressure, he being Grayson Lambert. They're not going to be able to go over the top with those corners. So I'm taking Florida to win, I don't know, 10-14. I think they win pretty easily.
Wrong.
Okay.
I got Georgia. Give me the dogs.
That's it?
That's my deep analysis. Florida has one of the best defenses in the country. I actually think they may be the best defense in the country. I think they're ahead of Alabama. But I just think that their offense and Treyon Harris, I know you said he hasn't made any interceptions, looked decent. I think he's going to make some mistakes. I think Georgia has more offensive ability than Florida. So it's a game I view as a field goal either way type of game. So in that case, I'm going to take Georgia in the points, knowing that Florida wins by a field goal. I get a push, so I'm taking the underdogs here to cover the 3.
I can hear that. Chuck, what's your favorite breakfast drink?
Wait, what? Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
What's your favorite breakfast drink?
Milk does the body good.
Okay. What do you think about orange juice? Where does that fit in?
Behind Bloody Marys, that's damn sure.
Okay, so it's at least third. If you go get like fast food breakfast, you either get like soda, coffee.
Dude, does that orange juice have any vodka in it or what?
No, like it's just through the drive-thru. Like you just get it, but you don't really want to.
You gotta bring your own vodka.
Yeah, it's a BYOV. So anyway, that one didn't work out so well with the whole orange juice and breakfast. But our next game is Oklahoma State is -3 against Texas Tech. Oklahoma State's still undefeated. They had the whole tragedy last weekend, which was awful, and I don't know how that drunk girl was like plowing through 40 people on campus, just messed up. Mason Rudolph has a good line until you see his 10 touchdowns to 7 interception ratio, so he's not really taking care of the ball. But other than that, his line looks pretty good. They don't have a running threat, so it's kind of – it's interesting because one of the other things we're going to talk about here in a second has the running back they had committed for the longest time, Ronald Jones, not USC, was committed to Oklahoma State until late December when he flipped. Texas Tech's defense is awful. They just can't stop the run. Luckily for them, Oklahoma State doesn't have anyone who can really run the ball. Mahomes is the 4th best quarterback in the conference. He's going to show Mason Rudolph what's up. I have Tech to win the game outright, so I'm definitely going to take the 3 points I'm being given.
Yeah, so I know Oklahoma State is undefeated. They are very, very unimpressive. They have no wins over winning teams. Their best win is their first game of the season against a 500 Chippewa team.
Shout out to Sarah.
They're one of the most overrated teams in the country at number 12. I've got Texas Tech to beat them pretty handily. I got Texas Tech to win by 10 points at home. The other thing, dude, this is a night game in Lubbock. That place gets crazy on Halloween night. If you remember the Texas Tech game with that Crabtree catch. Mm-hmm. Tech's going to win this game easy. Oklahoma State is not a very good team. I would bet pretty heavily on this one.
I'm right there with you. So that covers our Big 12 portion of the week, which is kind of sad. There's no more games. But
boo-hoo.
Boo-hoo. Here's our primetime game, your big American Conference game of the week. Number 9, Notre Dame is a 10-point favorite going to number 21, Temple. Temple is like – this game is like when you go to get your car washed, you walk in, and there's like a whole big pot of coffee – and you're not going to be there that long. They're just washing your car, but you get some coffee. You didn't go there, but you'll take the coffee just to, like, watch your car go through the deal. And, you know, you might even buy some trinkets while you're there. So, Chuck, where are you at for this game?
Dude, could you hear that?
I did.
Oh, sorry. I was burping.
I thought you were growling.
I was trying to cover it up. And my bad.
The car wash game.
What's the car wash game?
Notre Dame Temple.
Notre Dame Temple. Why don't you go first?
So under Chip Kelly, the Notre Dame has been a defense first team this year with CJ Procise and Will Fuller, and then it hasn't really mattered if it's Malik Zaire or Deshaun Kizer at quarterback. They've gotten a good player either way this year, so their offense is very good. Temple hasn't seen an offense like this. It definitely wasn't Penn State when they beat them to open the year. They're just going to run Gerard Thomas a lot. He's going to run 25 times, which he almost has as many rushing attempts as they do passing attempts on the year. So I fear for his legs. I'm going to take Notre Dame to win this pretty easily. Temple's defense is good, but they haven't faced the type of offense Notre Dame can play.
Yeah, that yawn in there was kind of me describing about how much I care about this game being the game of the week. I honestly know very little about Temple, don't really care about them. Notre Dame should win this easily. They're a more talented team. But I think Temple is going to get up for the game just because this will be their game of the year. Notre Dame, this is just another game to them. I'm going to take the 10.5 points for Temple to cover, but I don't really know a whole lot.
Okay, I can see that. All right, well, we'll see you at the car wash, Chuck.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. All right, our next game.
Until next time.
We got two more games.
Oh, we still got two more.
Yep, way to keep track of our spreadsheet. USC is a 5.5 point favorite at Cal.
Why wouldn't you save the game of the week for the last one? Threw me off there.
I'm going by time, so these are our 9:30 games. Yeah. So USC is at Cal Saturday night. Sorry, this is a 2:00 game. I don't know why this is here.
Oh, so much for them in time order here.
Our last ones is our Pac-12 at dark game. But anyway, so USC is a 5.5 point favorite going to Cal. This game is like whenever you buy a box of Lucky Charms. Like, you buy them for the marshmallows. You don't really want those grainy pieces. You just
damn
want all
straight, dear. Damn straight.
Don't even mess with the grain. Just give me the marshmallows. That's what this game is. They're the grain for next week's marshmallows.
Dude, that's the best analogy you've had all night.
I know. I was pretty proud of that one when I came up with it. So, Cal needs Jared Goff to have more time in the pocket so he can throw the ball downfield. They're not running the ball. They don't really have – well, they have a good running back, but they don't give him the ball, which is probably why he's averaging like 8 yards a carry because he's only run for like 30 times on the year or something crazy. But it's the battle of the best two quarterbacks in the Pac-12 with Jared Goff and Cody Kessler. But Cal's defense is terrible. Cody Kessler, like, he gets caught up in how bad USC was with Sarkisian going and all that. He's actually having a hell of a year. Ronald Jones, the true freshman, is being a stud so far. Juju Smith-Schuster has 900 yards, 8 touchdowns, and 47 catches through half the year. So he's going to have almost a Biletnikoff type of year if it wasn't for Corey Coleman. All that said, I think Cal is going to cover
the 5.5 at home. Nice Baylor reference in there.
Got to drop it in. I think Cal is going to cover the 5.5 at home. I think both teams are going to score a lot, and I think Cal will keep it close enough to cover the 5.5.
Dude, you're trying to trick me here by – you have USC in here in the Excel spreadsheet.
I had Cal written in my notes. I typed in the wrong deal.
So, dang it, I thought I was going to have one that was different than you. So, USC is going to be coming in after a big win. Cal has struggled the last couple weeks. I think they're going to finally have a good performance where Jared Goff doesn't throw like 8 interceptions. The other thing, and this is, I think, probably the most important reason I think Cal covers and has a good shot to win this game, is that you're right when you said that Cal's defense is not a very good defense. They're very bend, I was going to say bend but don't break, but they break pretty easily. But they create tons and tons of turnovers. They lead the country in interceptions. Cody Kessler throws a lot of interceptions, and I think that's going to be what does them in. Is the turnover margin. And if Jared Goff can get going at all,
I think Cal can kind of run away and hide in this game and have USC trying to play catch up. And I'm going to go with Cal to cover the 5.5. I say they lose by either 3 or 4 points.
Okay, so no lucky charms for the USC line.
Mm-mm.
Although I did notice a catch-up reference, but that was a different game. That was the Ole Miss-Auburn game for the record.
What catch-up reference?
Okay, we'll talk about it later.
I did not mention catch-up at all.
You said they're going to have to play catch-up.
Oh, got it. Wow.
Yeah.
In the words of Hatch, oh, wow.
Our last game of the week is number 8 Stanford is a 12-point favorite going to Washington State. This game to me is like, we're both Southern kids. We love sweet tea. We love tea in general.
But I hate tea.
Well, fuck you, Chuck. So if you ever order tea, they give you some lemon in your glass and like you always look at it. You just got to take that thing out, set it on the table. Like if you're really in a bad mood, you just kind of chunk it across the restaurant. You don't want the lemon. This game is the lemon game of the week. So Luke Falk is the Washington State quarterback. He's the best quarterback in the country so far. No one's talking about. He's thrown 26 touchdowns, only has 4 interceptions. He's 73% passing completion on the year. True to Mike Leach style, they don't even try to run the ball. But they're okay at this year when they attempt to. They're averaging 5.5 a carry, but they don't hand it to him a lot. But they're going to keep him honest with that. Also,
dude, why don't you throw out the stats? What does their top running back have rushing? I don't know, but I thought they ran it a lot more this year.
No, I think they're like 350. Let me look it up while I'm talking. So, but their defense is also true to Mike Leach style that they give up a lot of points. Conversely, Stanford, Christian McCaffrey, leading rusher, in the Heisman talk now, also their leading receiver. He's 5 straight 100-yard games. Kevin Holgan has gotten better with experience. But all that said, I think Washington State's playing very well, and I think they're flying under a lot of radars. So give me Wazoo to cover the 12. And Washington State's running back has 322 yards in the year.
All right. All right.
So he may finish with 600.
So I am going to pick Washington State to cover the 12 points. Again, it's one of those things. Stanford is clearly the better team. I've got them in my college football Final Four. I think it's just one of those things that Stanford is not as good defensively as they have been in the past. They're only like 50th in defensive efficiency this year, which is low for them. So I think the Cougars are going to be able to test the secondary a little bit more. I think Stanford wins. I'm going to take Stanford to win by 10 because I just don't see Washington State being able to stop Stanford and Christian McCaffrey. I say something like 40-30, 45-35, something like that. More high-scoring game. But Wazoo to cover.
Up and down the field.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we got a shot to end this one under an hour. Let's see if we can pull it off.
Whoa, I still got to give you my off-the-board bet of the week.
All right, what's that?
So my off-the-board...
Is it Tulsa versus SMU?
It is not, and it is not Eastern-Western Michigan.
Let me down. Okay, what do you have?
But it is Iowa State to cover a touchdown against UT. Off-the-board bet of the week.
Okay. So would you bet it hard?
I like the game.
Okay. So betting
things... I don't know how hard I would bet on Iowa State, but I do like the game. I just don't trust them.
So speaking of betting things hard, I really need to make up ground on Will and just to get back in the black by the time this deal's over. So the $1,000 this week, I am putting $500 on Oregon to cover the 2.5. At Arizona State. I'm also putting $500 on UNC to cover their -3 spread versus Pitt tomorrow. So pretty much Thursday I'm going to know, and I won't even watch these games because I'll be out. So Thursday I'm putting all $1,000 on the line. Where are you leaning, Chuck?
Give me $500 on Texas Tech, $250 on West Virginia, and 250 on Cal.
All right.
Yeah, Texas Tech is like the lock of the week. That one's the easiest game of the week.
As you put it last week, the lock of the century of the week.
Lock of the century of the week.
So we're going to send this podcast out later tonight. This goes out to our boy Murph, who after 11 years is flying home to go roost and nest up in Detroit. So,
Evan, are you flying or driving?
He's driving, but he will be flying back a lot. Well, it was a metaphor. So anyway, I hope Evan and Eric listen to this in the truck ride, and maybe they can convince Murph to turn around. So anyway, we're out of here.
Peace out.
Listening to the sound of my tears. Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone.